Good morning, everybody. I hope you all enjoyed the wonderful rain we had this morning. So, as most of you know, our summer series has been based on the many different names of God. Today, our focus will be on the name Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. So, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 6, that is where we will be beginning today. But before we get into the scripture, I'd like to take a moment to kind of paint a picture or set the scene, as you would say, to acknowledge the reality of the world that is around us. The truth is that our world is struggling. The people that surround us are struggling. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of fear, a lot of pain, anxiety, and sadness. And I'm not saying that all of the world is bad, but there's a lot of time that the bad things that are in the world tend to outweigh the good. They become what people focus on. If you take the news, for example, there's a lot of stuff in the news that is bad that outweighs the good that they report on. And I think that this is a really good example of the human condition that has evolved from the introduction of sin into the world. So people have tried over and over again to overcome the pain and the things that they're going through, and they've tried many different avenues, whether it's money or fame or drugs or substances or power or possessions. And it has been said over and over and over again by people that none of these things bring them the happiness that they long for. They won't bring them peace. People continue to search for this peace that they long for every single day. People look for it in everything, and they try to fill that empty hole, but they are always unsuccessful. The only results that they end up getting is usually just a momentary burst of happiness that disappears once that moment is gone. Once the moment is gone, the fear and the anxiety return. But the awesome news is that we have a God of peace, a creator who loves us and cares about us and wants us, and he can fill that empty hole that people are searching to fill. Someone who can bring us peace in the midst of the pain that surrounds us, a sturdy anchor in the storms of life. As we go along today, I hope and pray that I can help you get a clear picture of what the peace of God looks like, a clear picture of what this means, and how he can bring us the peace that we long for. We're going to begin in Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 11. And here we're going to see part of the story of Gideon. But before we read this, let me just explain to you kind of what's going on in this part of the Bible. So the people of Israel were in this cycle of evil and good, and evil and good and repentance, and then evil and then good and then repentance. And the Lord kept punishing the Israelites for what they're doing, and then they would repent, and then they would come back to get God, and then they would do it all over again. At this point in time, the Israelites had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years, and the Israelites were hiding in caves and dens in the mountains. Eventually, they cried out to God for help again, and this brings us up to Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Let's read verses 11 through 13. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and has given us into the hand of Midian.'" So the angel appears to Gideon, and Gideon asks a question that has been asked over and over again throughout history. And it's probably one of the biggest and most common questions that gets asked. And the question is, if there is a God, why is all of this happening? Why do people get hurt? Why do people get cancer? Why do people fill in the blank? If there is a God and he loves us, why is the world so broken? And this is a great question. But the short answer to this question is because of sin. Because we chose a life that goes against God and his design, and we have broken the world through sin. The brokenness we face every day is a result of our rebellion against God. The brokenness of our world and the introduction of sin could lead to an entire sermon on its own, so I'm not going to get too far into it. But man's rebellion and his decision to sin against God resulted in a world that is operating outside of God's holy design. It is a world that is not how God originally designed it to be. God gave man a choice to choose him or to choose a life of rebellion, and man chose to sin. And sin has brought consequences that affect the world and that affects our lives every single day. So this brings us to my first point for the morning, which is this. Number one, the peace of God is a comfort and a help. Finding our peace in God does not mean that all of our troubles will magically go away. This peace doesn't mean that the world becomes fixed. Our world will continue to endure the brokenness that was brought on by sin, and we will still have to deal with it. But the difference is that we are not dealing with this brokenness alone. And not only that, but we go through these things with a hope, a future, and a light at the end of the tunnel. It is important to remember that the peace of God is not the absence of trouble, but it is the presence of God. God will be with us through it all. We will have the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to comfort us in the midst of the hardest parts of life. And you will face hard times. You will go through things. Your life will not be a piece of cake. But if you can place your faith and if you can place your trust in God and find your peace in him, you will find comfort and help. You will find that peace. But if we are reaching out into the world that is around us to find our comfort and our help, to find our peace, we will not find it. There is nothing that is in this world that will bring us the peace that we long for. There are so many things that can provide us a false sense of peace that only lasts for a moment and then is gone. It is a temporary happiness. It is very important for us to distinguish the difference between peace and happiness, since a lot of times these two can be interchanged. So when we say we have peace in God, we are not saying that our lives are super and easy and happy all the time. What we are saying is that we have a hope and a future to live with God by our sides through all parts of life. The peace that comes from God is an eternal calm that lies deep within the trusting soul. We have an everlasting comfort and peace that stands firm no matter what. It is not temporary. It doesn't come and go, but it remains, and we can always rely on the peace we can find in our God. So let's continue reading Judges chapter 6. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. It says this, "And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?' And he said to him, 'Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you will strike the Midians as one man.' And he said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you.' And he said, 'I will stay till you return.'" So God tells Gideon to go and save Israel, but Gideon responds and says, "Me?" He goes, "But my clan is the weakest. I am the least in my house." Gideon wasn't placing his trust in God's ability. He wasn't focused on God's ability, but he was focused on his own ability. Gideon was focused on the world and the things that were going on, and he was focused on his own natural abilities instead of the power of God. And it's easy for us to do the exact same thing, for us to take a look at the things around us, to examine our own situations and just say, how? How can I do this? Gideon was trying to understand why God chose him, why he chose a man from the weakest clan, a man that was the least of his house, to lead the Israelites into battle against an enemy that has prevailed for 7 years while they hid in the mountain caves. The Israelites lived in fear for their lives, wondering if they would even have enough food to eat. And now God wants him to defeat the Midianites? God wants Gideon to defeat them? And God's response to Gideon was pretty simple. It wasn't anything crazy. He didn't try to give him some crazy explanation as to how exactly he was going to defeat them. He didn't give them a complex solution. But he simply said, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." God said, "But I will be with you." How often do we look at the situations around us, the physical things, things that are going on, and try to solve them with logical explanations to bring ourselves some sort of peace to this anxiety and stress? How much energy do we spend simply trying to find a way to convince ourselves that everything's going to be okay? The peace that we find in God is a supernatural peace. It isn't something that can be explained away. It isn't something that makes logical sense from a human perspective, but it is true, and it is steadfast, and it is reliable. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The peace that we can find in God may not make sense from a logical perspective. It may not be able to be fully explained through our human understanding, but it is fairly simple. If we put our faith and if we put our trust in God, if we surrender to Him, He will be with us. Just like with Gideon, God will be with us. We can have peace in the middle of the things that are going on because we know that no matter what is happening, God will be with us and we have a future and we have a hope in Him. When we come to Christ and when we surrender to Him, we will receive the Holy Spirit, one part of the Holy Trinity. We receive the Holy Spirit and He is always with us. He's leading us and guiding us and comforting us. So when we say that God is with us, it is not just a metaphor. It's not a phrase for comfort, but it is a legit part of a Christian's life. God is with us at all times. He knows what has happened. He knows what is happening, and He knows what will happen. And we can rest in Him, and we can find peace in Him and His will. The second point I'd like to bring us up to today is the peace of God is steadfast. The peace of God is unwavering, it is reliable, and it is something that we can trust. It is something that is greater than any human problem that we will ever face. Our God, our Creator, He is steadfast. He does not change His mind. He doesn't change His ways. He doesn't go back on His promises. And we can always know what to expect from Him. He is trustworthy and He is holy and He is steadfast. He will always be right there waiting for us when we need Him most, through the calm and the storm. There are so many things in this world that can draw our attention away from God. Things that we start to rely on. And none of us are immune to this. The truth is that we can get cozy in this life, especially in the United States, and we start to anchor our peace into the material things. Now, this may not be entirely intentional, but quietly, we start putting our peace into material things, and we might not even realize it. For example, You might start to find peace in your job, your salary, your retirement, your material things that you have. You start to rely heavily on some of these things without even thinking about it. You get home from your comfortable job, you relax on your nice couch. You enjoy a nice evening with your family, watch some TV, eat some food, and then go to bed, and then do it all over again the next day, looking forward to relaxing at home and just enjoying the money that you earned. It's easy to rely on these things. They are material, and they are there. They are physical. They are something that we can see and feel, and they are enjoyable. But the moment that things start to go wrong, the moment that these things become unstable in your life starts to fall apart. You start to fall apart. And if these things are the things that are ruining your life and wrecking your peace, then maybe these are the things that you've been placing your peace in instead of God. Now, I'm not saying that if you lose your job or if you have a family member that passes away or something terrible happens, that you're like, yes, that would be pretty weird and not normal. But the thing that would reveal your heart is in your response. There will be pain, there will be suffering, but either you will become absolutely devastated and ruined by these things that are happening, or you will come to God, the source of your peace, and you will say, you know what, God, I am upset. I am so broken right now. I'm not having a great time, but Lord, I trust you, and I'm going to trust you and rest in you in the middle of my pain. Sometimes our troubles in our lives will draw us back to God. They will reveal to us where we've been placing our peace and our trust, and they'll help us realign with him. Back in 2015, I was able to participate in a mission trip to Haiti. This was the first time in my life that I had ever been anywhere other than the United States. And just being there and seeing the things that they went through, the conditions that they lived in, and the things that they had to do just to simply survive was crazy. It was eye-opening. But one of the things that struck me the most was the way that these people worshiped God. And it was so evident in the way that they worshiped and the way that they prayed and the way that they talked about God that they placed everything in him. Everything. Sometimes the blessings we have in the United States can hinder our relationship with God because we start to rely on them instead of him. We can become so reliant on the things that we have, the things that we do, and the things that we can see that our peace starts drifting from being anchored in God to being anchored into these material things. We begin to live in and rely on our material lives more than we rely on our spiritual lives with Christ. So when our material lives begin to break down, our own personal lives become broken and desperate. Now, please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everyone in America is like this. What I'm saying is that it is far easier for us to become reliant and anchored into these things over God. So we need to be on guard, and we need to be prepared and be aware and continually focus on our peace in God, and not the temporary happiness that our material lives bring us. And I'm not saying that all material things are bad and evil, but what I'm saying, and the point that I'm trying to get across, is that we need to see these things as what they are, and that is a blessing. And we need to use them for his glory when we can, and not just for our own pleasure and comfort. I encourage you this week to take some time and examine your own life, and examine your priorities, and what you are relying on, where you are putting your trust and your peace, and spend some time praying and seeking God, and spend some time realigning your peace with the peace of God. And I really hope that you do. Let's finish reading the rest of our passage in Judges for today. We're going to read Judges 6, 19 through 24. It says this, "So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and unleavened cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot, and he brought brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them." And he did so. And the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you, do not fear, you shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and he called it, "The Lord is Peace," Jehovah Shalom. To this day it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. So now that we've gone through this whole passage, we can get a full picture of what was going on and what led up to Gideon building this altar and naming it "The Lord is Peace." So Gideon lived in a time of fear and anxiety, and the Israelites didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't even know why the things that were happening were happening. He questioned the angel asking God, where was he during all of this? It was not an easy time and not a time of happiness. A man, the least of his household, from the weakest clan, called by an angel of God to save the nation of Israel, who was hiding in the mountains from their enemies, found his peace in God. He could have very well said no and ran away, and he knew that the odds were not in his favor. He knew that going up against the Midianites, that his death was probably pretty likely. But he chose to follow God. He chose to fully surrender to him and to trust him in his will and to find his peace in him. So this brings me to my third point for today, which is this: the peace of God prevails. When we come before God and when we give him our full trust, not just partial, but when we give him our full faith and trust, and when we surrender everything to him, the peace of God will overpower the darkness that surrounds us. When we have that hope and that comfort and that peace that comes from God, we can withstand the world and all of its pain and suffering. It doesn't take the darkness away, but provides a light for us in the middle of the darkness. Gideon surrendered his own desires for the will of God. He decided to follow and surrender his fears for the sake of God. He surrendered his comfort and safety for the will of God. He surrendered the logical human decision for the will of God. He surrendered to God, and he had peace in God. When we give him everything, when we lay our lives down before him, and we give him our all, we will experience his peace. When we continue to hang on to these material things, this material happiness that we experience, we will fail to fully experience his peace. You will be brought down over and over again by the world, and you'll be disappointed when the things that you trust in fail to uphold your peace. We need to trust God in everything. Not just bits and pieces, but in everything, every part of our lives. There is nothing in this world that can break down the peace of God. The peace of God will continue to prevail no matter what. We can trust our Lord and our Savior. We know that he keeps his promises, and we know that he will always be there when we need him. We can place our peace in him. We will experience many different painful times and things in our lives. It's unavoidable. Some of these things might just be mild inconveniences, and some of these things will be life-altering events. And these things will affect us. They're likely to cause heartache and sadness. We will experience the death of loved ones, failure, we'll experience mistakes, we'll experience sin and its effects, and we'll experience many different things. and we will have to make hard decisions. I mean, just take a look at the world around you. The world is full of these things. It's a scary world out there, and I honestly don't know what people do without God. But you know the one thing that I can always count on in the middle of everything that's going on? It's my relationship with my Creator, the God of the universe, who wants me, a sinner, to come to Him, to be with Him, to find my peace in Him. And I tell you what, there is nothing more comfortable and more peaceful than knowing that the God of the universe is with me and that He cared enough to pay the punishment that I deserved just so that I could be with Him. The peace of God prevails. There is nothing in this world that can come between me and the peace that I can have in God. There will be times in life where I might be sad, upset, or in pain. But if I place my peace and my trust in God, I'll be able to get through it all because I know what is coming. I know what has been done. And I know that the things that happen today are just a small part of my eternity. I'd like to share with you a story that I know some of you have probably heard before. It's fairly common, but I find that this is a great example of what the peace of God looks like. It's a true story. It's about a man named Horatio Spafford who lived in the late 1800s. He was a lawyer and a real estate investor, and he had built up his business and his family in Chicago. He had one son, and he had four daughters. When his son was just 4 years old, he lost him to scarlet fever, and shortly after losing his son, he lost both his business and his fortune to the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. And in 1873, after the series of events and rebuilding some of what he had lost, his family was under a lot of stress, so he planned a vacation. They planned to go to England, so he sent his wife and his four daughters on a ship ahead of him to England. But while on their way to England, the ship that his wife and his four daughters were on was involved in a collision that caused it to sink, and he lost all four of his daughters. When his wife had reached England, she sent a telegram that stated, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" After receiving this telegram, he immediately left for England. And the ship that he was on, the captain knew what had happened and pointed out to Horatio where the collision had happened. And he immediately went to his room and wrote the words to a poem. And after they had returned back, Horatio shared this poem with a friend by the name of Philip Bliss, who was a songwriter, and he turned this poem into a song that we know and still sing today. It's called "It Is Well With My Soul." Some of the lyrics say, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Was Horatio sad over the death of his four daughters? He most certainly was. But even in the middle of this tragic event that he wrote this poem and the song that we still sing today, I think this is an amazing example of what the peace of God can look like. Now, I spent most of my time today explaining the aspects of the peace of God, what it means and its qualities and how it functions. But there might be some of you asking, how? How do I find this peace? How do I place my peace in God? How can we experience this when the world can feel so overwhelming? Well, the first thing that we have to understand is where we stand before God. We must understand that before Him, without Jesus, we are not worthy of Him. Which means that because of our sin, we cannot be in God's presence. We do not deserve to be in His presence. We do not have an eternity with him. We stand condemned before him. That is a scary place to be, and is a place without peace. However, we know that Jesus, the Son of God, the second part of the Holy Trinity, came and he lived life as a man on earth and died on behalf of all of the sins of man, the past, present, and future, so that we as humans can have the opportunity to stand before our God clean and worthy of an eternity before him, not of our own doing, but only through Jesus Christ, only because of his sacrifice. However, it is up to us to understand what was done on our behalf, and it is up to us to make the decision to accept this gift of salvation that has been offered to us. Jesus extended out an invitation to us to come to him, to place our faith and our trust in him, to lay everything down before him, and to admit our guilt and to serve him. He loves all of us, and he wants all of us to come to him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Once we make that decision, once we repent and turn away from our lives of sin and commit to a life of serving God, we can experience his peace, knowing that he is with us and that our eternity is secure in him. But we have to make the decision to commit to him. There is also a peace in God, knowing that we no longer have to endure the punishment that is due us. It has been paid. Jesus fulfilled this on the cross, and there's peace knowing that we will no longer be enemies of God, but children of God. God has put it out there for us to make the decision to follow him. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Once we have made this decision, it's just a matter of placing all of our trust in him and coming to him with all of our doubts, worries, and pain, seeking his comfort and not the comfort we can find in the world. Just as Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Come to him with your pain. Come to him with your troubles. Don't go to the world to find comfort and peace, but go to God. Run to him. He is there and waiting for you. I really do encourage you guys this week to really take some time and reflect on where you've been placing your faith and your trust and your comfort, what you've been relying on. There are so many things out there that provide a false sense of peace, this false sense of comfort. And there is nothing out there that could even come close to the comfort and peace that you can find in God. So give him everything. Put everything in him. Place your life in his hand and surrender everything to his will. Gideon had some of the same thoughts and questions as we do when it comes to the world. He didn't understand why things were happening and where God was in the middle of it all. He didn't understand how God could use him because he was small, weak. He wanted to know how he was going to overcome the obstacles that lay before him. But the answer was pretty simple. God was with him. God said, "But I will be with you." And Gideon gave God his willingness and devotion and found his peace in God. And we can too. God wants you to give him everything. He wants your humble devotion. When we fully surrender to him, he will be there with us, and we will experience the peace of God.